Hello, everybody, and welcome to Resettled, A Human Journey, ECDC ACC's premier podcast. My name is Jariana Rodriguez, and I want to thank you all for joining us. In March, we celebrate Women's History Month as a way to not only honor the contributions of women in the past, but to also inspire future generations. It is important to showcase how we as a country value equality and ensure that everybody has a chance to be heard. For this episode, we welcome Rebecca Jaile-Mescal, who serves as the Reception and Placement Program Officer for ECDC. Rebecca has over 10 years of experience working in international and local NGOs as a gender advisor, and she has specialized in a number of fields, including gender mainstreaming and women's empowerment. Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Can you just please tell us a little bit about the work that you do for ECDC?
Thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this interview. I serve as an RLP program officer. As an officer, I oversight 4 to 5 affiliates, as well as providing guidance on cultural orientation and gender, including monitoring and providing trainings, technical supports.
Okay. So as you know, it is Women's History Month. Why do you think it is important to have a special month to honor women?
Special Women's History Month is important. It helps to honor and reflect on the influence of women in our lives. Especially in March, we do have a celebration going to celebrate the political, economic, social, and cultural achievement of women. Over the decades, women across the globe actively participate in public and private sectors, politics, education, IT, research, innovations, and more diversified fields, and they have left their footsteps. So for us to acknowledge, honor, reflect, this achievement is very important. This is a time for each one of us to reassure women around us and help them achieve their goal. So I see that it adds value to what women are achieving across the board and over the decades.
So what have refugee resettlement organizations done to specifically aid their female clients when they first arrive? Or what can they do in the future?
Resettlement agency organizations use different approaches to aid their female clients, pre-arrival and post-arrival. For example, we at ECDC have an internal allocation meeting. During the meeting, we review the biodata for form received from RPC. During this careful review, we look at the history of, if there is a history of trauma, gender-based violence, if women are pregnant, if they have behavioral health issues, their marital status, their age, if they have children, their relationship to the children, are they step children to them, are they grandchildren, and etc. And we look at the education level, their literacy level, their work history, and their English proficiency. On top of that, we look at the origins, the country of origin, where these women are coming from, and we do look at if there is, like, for example, a formal education provided, the cultural expectations in this origin countries, and how the health systems work and other things as well. This will help us in allocating clients to a different locations where they will get a quality R&P service and also ongoing services. For example, for ECDC, if they come as a single mothers, we will tend to send them to Denver, Colorado, where they will get child care, they will get skill trainings, and so forth. If it's a mental health client with mental health case, we send them to our affiliate in Houston, where they will get in-house mental health services. After they arrive, our affiliates ensure that each case member is considered as an individual case, as an individual. Just to explain that, if they are provided with RNP, when they are provided with RNP services, for example, if they have to do budget preparation, each adult is actively participating in that preparation. And upon arrival, they will be provided with interpreter. Even if a spouse can't speak fluent English, we make sure that they will be affiliates make sure that they will have the appropriate language interpretation. So in serving and addressing clients, we make sure that every individual member is treated equally and the same. For example, when they do service planning, PA and spouse, girls and boys will be doing individual planning, service planning. And we make sure that the, you know, there's a participation. For example, when preparing a budget during financial literacy, discussions of past experiences will be discussed among refugee women. Decision making and budgeting and handling family resources will be discussed. When providing CO classes, the meaningful participation of women and men taking the class will also be something that's considered. In some of our affiliates have women-only classes and they also provide childcare. For RAs also, staff, when considering staff composition, there should be a cross-cultural communication, which is very important to have staff members with cultural competency and sensitivity among the staff. And most RAs or affiliates hire refugees for case management positions since they have the language and they know the population. And also providing, you know, trainings, open dialogues among staff on cultural norms and practices is vital as well. So all RAs provide their affiliates and branch offices with a cooperative agreement. And the prevention and response to sexual exploitation and abuse policy. ECDC provides its affiliate and branch offices this cooperative agreement with the Bureau of the Population, Refugee and Migration, and also the policy on prevention and response to sexual exploitation. So this is how.
So for our listeners who are not very familiar with some of the words, can you explain what an RPC is?
RPC is Refugee Processing Center.
Excellent.
CO is Cultural Orientation, and RAs are Resettlement Agencies.
Excellent.
Thank you.
So basically what you're saying is that we have how many affiliates in ECDC?
Currently we have 14 affiliates.
14.
Yeah.
So when you receive cases, you will then send them out depending on the resources that those affiliates or branch offices have.
Correct.
Okay. Excellent. So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges that women refugees face today? And how has ECDC tried to address these issues, either on the national or local level?
There are, you know, different challenges related to gender issues. I can give a few examples. So women and girls may have innovative ideas to bring change in their community. But if they are from a culture that expects them to remain uninvolved in public matters, these ideas may never surface. So cultural practices that prevent women and girls from interacting with men diminishes their economic opportunities, lowers their self-sufficiency, and makes them dependent on others during the settlement process. So they are voiceless, which means that they always depend on someone to voice. Even if they have innovative ideas, they want someone to present it for them. The other issue is, you know, mostly men are often the primary applicants, PAs, considered the heads of the household and empowered to speak on behalf of their entire family. This can also hinder women's access to RNP reception and placement services, like attending ESL classes, employment services, and cultural orientation. This is a requirement with the cooperative agreement we have. So it is also, you know, presents itself as a barrier for employment and school actively engaging in school for women and girls. And if women do not participate in such programs, it affects their self-sufficiency, like I said earlier, and they delay their cultural integration and leaves them unaware of available opportunities. The other issue is domestic violence. The changing norms in economic engagements for women create unfavorable situation for some families, which can result in domestic abuse. Men may feel a loss of control due to the change in financial and social circumstances they experience when resettling in the US. And this may frustrate them, and you know, it can cause domestic violence. So for ECDC, in order to tackle this, we have developed a gender equity manual. This manual aims to improve the knowledge and practical capacities of affiliate staff members to analyze and respond to gender-related issues in the context of refugee resettlement. It also allows each affiliate to conduct gender analysis, work toward gender equality, gender equity given their context. ECDC also encourages affiliates to come up with strategies for addressing the needs of clients. To address these issues, some of our affiliates began offering women-only CO classes. For example, our affiliate in Denver, Colorado provides women-only CO based on language groups, and CO sessions are provided to women and men, for example, from Afghanistan, their own CO group, Iraqi, Syrian, and other ethnicities. These sessions also provide childcare to better allow women with caregiving responsibilities to attend. So women-only COs will help in facilitating, or you know, help the engagement of female participants, active engagement of female participants. ECDC also requires all its affiliates staff to take the cultural orientation certification developed by CORE. This three-level certification, that's a requirement by ECDC, are very important in building the capacity of staff to provide quality CO. When it comes to employment services, ECDC encourages affiliates to ensure a proper orientation for all family members, case members. So spouse, you know, the PA will be provided the appropriate orientation when it comes to employment.
So you basically answer the next question: what would gender equality look like in resettlement agencies? You know, you mentioned the women-only CO, providing childcare, making sure that we're fulfilling the women's needs specifically. So I'm just going to go ahead with the next question. Are there any ways, or how are ECDC branch offices and affiliates leading the way in promoting gender equality in refugee resettlement specifically?
So ECDC also it has a national, which I would like to mention, has a national conference whereby we provide training for our network. And also during the conference, there will be a co-current session focusing on, for example, refugee women peer support groups, strengthening gender-based approaches, trauma-informed case management, examining gender-based violence. These are some of the topics that I can give from our last conference. And for ECDC, this is considered as very important. Gender equity is considered as very important. So some of our affiliates, for example, the ACCTC, we have a swing class for refugee and immigrants, teach it together, swing class, whereby refugee women also are invited to take part. There is a domestic violence prevention intervention that ECDC's Safe Journey program helps DV survivors and raise awareness among refugee and immigrant communities by referring them to counseling services, provide mental health counseling and social services. And also there are skill trainings. For example, in our Denver, Colorado, we made this program is an important employment skill training program for refugee women, and it provides 12-week introductory program for artisan sewing classes. In that class, they will also be introduced to the, you know, English, to their surroundings, and how they can integrate in the Denver, Colorado community. I can also give our Houston site, which has a mental health in-house mental health services, and also they are planning to have a men's group for men to come and share, you know, any issues around gender and the changing norms in family management or service.
And then you mentioned the ECDC National Conference. Does this happen every year?
Yes.
And when is this year's national conference going to take place? Do you have a month?
I think it will be in June.
In June. Yeah. Okay, excellent. So why do you think it is important for refugee resettlement agencies to try and address gender inequality?
So addressing gender inequality is an integral part, but it's overlooked in refugee resettlement, because assumption is that since refugees are given equal opportunity to resettle in the United States, they will be capable of integrating to their new environment as long as all R&B services are provided. But it is very crucial to focus where refugees are coming from, especially women refugees. So it's very important to look at that aspect, and it's vital for refugee resettlement agencies like ECDC to identify the unique needs of women, men, girls and boys in order to address their smooth transition. For example, women, men, girls and boys have different needs, including material needs. For example, women need to know where to purchase feminine hygiene products, contraceptives. In some cultures, women tend to be shy to share their needs with different sex. So refugee women, if they have, you know, require different treatments, it will be maybe beneficial for them to meet with a women healthcare provider. Because that's, you know, so for them to feel, they feel comfortable to see female doctors or nurses. So it's critical to look at this.
Okay, so for those resettlement agency staff members or people working in the industry, what do you think resettlement agencies should do to improve and promote gender equality in their programming?
So for all, I will say it's very good to mainstream gender. So at least to have a minimum standard for mainstreaming gender equality. Do we have policies? Is there a capacity like to promote and share commitment? Is there analysis done in order for us to use, you know, the information that we get from the analysis in order, you know, to have a program that has is mainstreaming gender? Is there a budget? We should also look at that. Are we collecting data's gender disaggregated, sex and age disaggregated data's? Are we utilizing those? Is there an indicator, or are there indicators to track specific you know, measures and progresses toward gender equity, and is there accountability among, you know, resettlement agencies? We have to establish accountability and monitor the you know, the progress, and toward this will bring us towards transformative. So the other thing resettlement agencies can do is have like a gender working groups. This helps us foster learning and coming up with standard approaches. Like I mentioned earlier, we can come up with, you know, minimum standard, gender mainstreaming standard among resettlement agencies, and share promising practices, share resources, different resources. For example, if there is a woman-only CO in one affiliate setting, all the affiliates in the area can have a group CO session, women CO sessions, and also share resources. If there is a skill training in, you know, in one affiliate, then other women and girls can go and, you know, take that class.
I like that idea, because at least it promotes not only sharing between practices between resettlement agencies, but also working together. We basically do the same things. We work with the same population, so it's good to share some things in order to move forward and progress. Mm-hmm. So looking now towards the past, how have refugee agencies helped improve the standard of living for women specifically?
I think most importantly is being aware of the gender dynamics, such as the hierarchies of power within many families, men and women, girls and boys coming from different places. Like I mentioned earlier, there is an issue of being voiceless for women, so understanding that will help our race to come up with different strategies in addressing some of the issues. And also it's very vital to understand the gender roles. For example, in some cultures, women are mostly caring for children rather than seeking employment outside of their home. So when it comes to the US, and women are also required to integrate, they are also required to become self-sufficient, find their employment. So for refugee resettlement or for affiliate staff to understand this, the gender roles of women and men in their country of origin is very important. The stigma and violence, some communities may blame victims for provoking acts of violence, which discourages individuals from coming forward. And also, if there is a mental case in some cultures, it's a taboo to say that I have a mental health issue. So the very important aspect is to understand and be aware of the gender dynamics in the clients we're serving.
I mean, I can testify to that. I mean, we have a mental health taboo here in the US, not even counting any sort of gender or culture norms. It's still, unfortunately, a taboo subject. So if you were speaking, if you were having a conversation with a case manager, what do you think it's important for them to know when working with women refugees?
Okay, it's always important to know the background of the clients we serve, be it women, men, children, girls, boys. So the first step in addressing a gender issue should be to create a safe, confidential space in which the problem may be discussed. You should consider how you identify gender, ethnicity, religion, and other issues. And so, for example, if there is an interpreter present, we have to understand what the background of our clients, who should be an interpreter. If it's, for example, in some cultures, female or women tend to be more comfortable speaking to a female interpreter. So if the case manager is a woman and we bring a man interpreter to the discussion, then that will be one hindrance for them to open up, especially when discussing sexual abuse or some health related issues. So creating a safe and confidential space is very, very important.
So I want to finish with this question. I consider myself a feminist, and as a feminist, I think it's important to provide equal opportunities to women, but also to take into account the particular barriers that pertain to the gender or group. What does the word feminism mean to you, and how is it related to gender equality?
Okay, for me, feminism means working together to bring gender equality. Not everyone has equal opportunity. Everyone is born equal, regardless of race, ethnicity, and gender. But that is, not everyone is treated equally, socially, economically, politically. So for me to bring gender equality for everyone is very important. For example, I am originally from Ethiopia, and there are gender issues like in education, not having equal opportunity for formal education for women and girls when it comes to employment, legal protection, equal pay. There are some gender issues, and we have to work together towards eliminating these barriers for equality. In Ethiopia, less than 25% of children finish grade 8 in rural areas. And for ECDC, for example, we have currently the 12 classroom campaign to give 600 students the opportunity to attend secondary school. So for me, that's very important. Education is an important aspect of life.
And how can people donate for this campaign? They can just go to the website?
They can just go to the website and there's a link with all the information that they need.
Okay, so that would be acdcus.org?
That's correct.
Excellent. So, Ruka, those are my only questions for you today. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experiences and stories that I'm sure will be very helpful to not only those who are working in this field, but those who want to, who are curious about it, just to learn a little bit about the work that we do. To find out more information, be sure to follow us on social media through our Facebook at ECDCACC. We have an Instagram account at ECDCACCDCMetro, our YouTube at ECDCACCDC. Or if you want to learn more about volunteering opportunities, feel free to email us at volunteer@ecdcus.org. Thank you for tuning in for this episode, and we hope you join us again next month on Resettled, a Human Journey. Thank you.